Hey, thanks for listening to the Aftermarket's premier podcast and for being a big part in the podcast tribe. Our collective efforts, networks, and connections bring great stories that uplift our aftermarket to new heights. Carm Capriotto here, host of Remarkable Results Radio, the Town Hall Academy, and AftermarketWeekly.com. And my guest today is Emily Chung. She owns and operates Auto Niche, a family-friendly auto repair shop in Markham, Ontario, Canada. She's a licensed automotive service technician, an automotive writer for various publications, and she also teaches in the Automotive Business School of Canada at Georgian College. We're going to talk about gender stereotyping. Now, I want you to listen to this episode in its entirety and let me know what you took away. Carm at remarkableresults.biz. Now, that's my email. Now, I believe it will help you understand some of the reasons we do what we do as it relates to hiring and leading our teams. Hey, when it comes to gender biases, Emily makes very strong points. No doubt you can put yourself in many of the situations Emily speaks about. So we get this on the table here in episode 567, and I welcome Emily back to keep the dialogue going. Hey, please recall another episode recently where we had a female shop owner, technician, and service advisor discuss the female impact in the aftermarket. It's episode 549. Hey, could you complete a really quick survey for me? It's only going to take about 4 minutes or less. Now, we're 5 years in, consistently presenting podcasts each week with over 800-plus episodes in the catalog and 450 hours of content. Now, I need to know about you and what you like or even would change. Please go to remarkableresults.biz/survey or find the link on my homepage. Hey, before we get into the core of this episode, I would like to thank my sponsor, Napa Insurance, for their support and for making this show possible. And we're also proud to partner with Napa Auto Care in the upcoming 2021 Napa Expo. Join Napa in Las Vegas, February 1st through the 4th, 2021. Discover the latest innovations in the auto care industry. Enrollment's going on right now. Contact your Napa store to learn more. Look, gender should never be an issue unless you make it one.
Whether I can or can't punch out that ball joint, whether I can or can't diagnose a car, it has nothing to do with my gender. It has to do with my skills. And I love the skill trades because we are measured on our skills, right? People, they have a car that's broken, they bring it in, maybe bonus is fixed by a girl, but really, they just want the car fixed, for crying out loud, right?
Hey, once again, thanks for tuning in. Are you watching the new show, AftermarketWeekly.com? Well, it's a live show every Tuesday, noon Eastern time. Every episode is available on the website, and you'll find really fun and interesting topics in the form of a magazine-style show, all aftermarket-focused. And it includes a shop tour, and you can learn a lot from that. Go to aftermarketweekly.com. And if you're not listening to this podcast while you're mobile, get yourself a free podcast listening app at remarkableresults.biz/subscribe. Woman encounter a lot of biases, especially in the automotive industry, both internal and external customers. Even if the issue has taken a step forward, it hasn't rooted yet. Hey, warm welcome to Emily Chung from Auto Niche Inc. in Markham, Ontario. Hello, Emily.
Hello, how are you?
I'm great. I love your background, shop owner. I found out you're a rugby player.
Well, back when I was much younger, yes.
Oh, what? Okay, much younger. Okay, but that's still really cool. How long you owned your shop?
So we've been in business for just over 10 years now. So that was quite the milestone.
I bet you it was. All on your own, entrepreneurial-like?
All on my own, me, myself, and I. It's great. We make decisions very quickly.
Yeah, I know, huh?
The board meetings are very fast.
Yeah, if you don't like it, look in the mirror and scold your partner.
Exactly, yeah.
We're going to talk about the automotive business, but how it relates to women in it. We've done episodes, most recently a female impact episode, getting through, we called it, with Ashley McCabe, Michelle Wynn, Lauren Giver. It was episode 549. I just interviewed John and Karen Manilis. She had some interesting things to say about the woman's role in the industry and as a shop owner, how she sees it. And I love to talk about this. It's sensitive at certain times to certain people. But I think if you're looking broad and wide as a shop owner and you realize the percentage of business you do with the female decision maker, there needs to be a perception change. Let's jump in.
you're right. Like, there are certain things that I may say, even that people will not agree to. And that's okay. Like, to me, that's part of a discussion. And I think that the discussion needs to be, you know, balanced, right? We're not just hearing from one side or the other, you know? So there's a lot to talk about.
When you run up against this, how do you coach, mentor females and or the male side? Since you're so passionate about it, I'm sure you are a mediator or coach when it comes to the discussion.
For me, like, my mindset is always that, you know what, gender is not an issue until I make it one. And I'm never one to just jump right to that as a conclusion. What bothers me about what I see now in the media and just even in our vocabulary or discussion, whether it be with, you know, students entering the trade or even with clients, customers, is that, you know, we take one instance and we label it very quickly to say, oh, well, that's, you know, sexism or that's racism. And to me, it's a bigger discussion than just that. So, you know, when I say that gender is not an issue until I'm making one, I'm not at all suggesting that the problem is not there. Just my mindset is that it's not an excuse one way or the other for me.
A female technician sometimes doesn't even want to be shown to the customers because they would say, is she going to work on my car? And what should we be doing or saying at our counters?
I mean, to be fair, you know, if the person is being hired into that team, you're behind your team no matter what, right? So it's important that the counter staff, you know, stand up for that if they get that kind of reaction. And every time, I always move the conversation away from gender to the skills, whether it's good or bad. When somebody says, you know, they don't know a lot of female technicians. And my usual response is going to be, well, yeah, you know what? I've been taught by a lot of great guys. Like, I have great skills. I've developed time, you know, all this stuff, right? So I move it away from my gender into the skill side. And that's just the nature of people, is they say things and they react a certain way based on their set of sunglasses. Right. And when I talk to other technicians or other young women coming to the trades, you know, and they have that kind of reaction that you're talking about in terms of, you know, not wanting to go up to the front counter because they don't want to, you know, be seen as the female tech, like, that technician set of sunglasses, they have some idea or perception that they're going to be judged one way or the other if they go up to the counter. And so that's, you know, I kind of break it down with the technician or the student and talk to them about, okay, what is that set of sunglasses that you're wearing? What is that bias that you have? And why is it that you have that?
Is it possible, Emily, that they're not getting the full support that they need from leadership and the peers inside of their own environment?
Yes and no. I will say that a lot of times, too, they've accepted certain things that have been told to them about their role in the trades. You know, so there's this idea out there about, we in the psychological world, we call it priming. So my background is also in psychology. And priming is basically, you know, if I prime you or say something to you, inherently you're going to want to prove that right, or you're going to be primed to think about that even more so. So for example, in this conversation, you know, if I already raise a young female to tell her that it's going to be tough for you, right, you're going to enter the trades and people are going to be biased against you, on and on and on, and I give her all of these words, you know, she's already biased to be looking for that. And it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? And so for me, this is why it's so important that when I talk to young students coming into the trades, that I'm always talking to them about their skills. It's not, and not just for the females, also for the men, all for the young men that come in. You know, to me, we get rewarded based on our skills. It has nothing to do with our gender.
It's amazing lately, some of the episodes that I've been doing, we continue to relate what we do to the medical field. And let me just share with you my thought on this issue. I've been to female doctors before, and I have no problem at all getting a diagnosis, you know, having them check me out. You know, here it is. Well, they wouldn't be in the clinic or they wouldn't be in the emergency room if they weren't qualified, if they didn't contribute, if they didn't have the right skills to be here. And so why are we even questioning a female technician who's working in a really quality place? And again, I think it goes back to the bias that we've always had. And, you know, one of the things is we've never published the fact that they're ASE certified, that they're, you know, kind of talking on one of the podcasts recently. Hi, I'm Carm Capriotto/MD. PhD, whatever. But hi, I'm Carm Capriotto, certified ASC Master Tech. Wow, I literally, after my name, I can greet people, I can have it on my business card. I'm a big deal, I'm certified, I know stuff. We're probably just not selling it hard enough to be proud of the skills that we have.
And to your point, like, the gender issue never comes into play. So I'm Emily Chung, a licensed technician, not female, no, there's no Asian, there's no other qualifiers. I'm on the same plane. And to be very honest with you, for me, whatever other people have in terms of their bias or judgment or whatever, that's them. Like, I've kind of come to a place where I fully accepted that that is them. And they can choose to believe whatever it is that they want to believe. And they can choose to tack on whatever identifiers they want to my name. I choose not to accept that for me.
Does society push back to the point where I can't be confident in the skills that I have?
Men and women alike are insecure. I see men in our trade who are deeply insecure too. It has nothing to do with gender. And so for me, the message is always about who that person is, you know, and how they're valued, the skills that they have acquired, you know, and the danger is when we allow other people's judgments to be part of our identity, that's where we lose it. We lose sort of who we are. Doesn't matter what gender, what race, nothing. So in terms of the insecurity issue, I'm going to be very honest with you. Men and women alike, we are all insecure in some way.
Hey, Carm here. Coming up, Emily explains her perspective on why we think women are better communicators in specific roles. Hi, Carm here, and I want to talk to you about the NAPA Auto Care Center program for health insurance. We've all heard the reports about the rising cost of health insurance, but you'll be happy to know I'm here with really good news. The NAPA Insurance Center is now offering the NAPA National Health Program, and it's saving NAPA Auto Care Centers and their employees money, lots of money. In fact, in the first 90 days following the launch of the program, NAPA stores and auto care centers and their employees saved over $2.7 million. That's all thanks to the NAPA Insurance Center's partnership with United Healthcare. It gives auto care centers access to the national large group rates on medical insurance with premiums discounted up to 30%. Now, these rates are based on the collective purchasing potential of 22,500 NAPA locations, including both NAPA Auto Parts stores and NAPA Auto Care Centers. And listen to this. The news just keeps getting better. You can choose from four excellent United Healthcare medical plans with varying levels of coverage and deductibles to meet a range of needs. All plans are PPOs, preferred provider organizations, with comprehensive coverage. Because of the NAPA Insurance Center's partnership with Aflac, you can have access to supplemental insurance benefits, including disability, accident, hospital, and more, all at a NAPA-only discount, up to 35%. The NAPA Benefits Center can help you with other group benefits, too, including group life insurance, retirement, HSAs, and more. NAPA's National Health Benefit Program is just one of the many reasons to become part of the NAPA Auto Care family, the largest network of independent automotive repair shops in the country. Talk to your servicing NAPA store. For more detailed information about the NAPA National Health Program, visit the NAPA Benefits Center at www.napabenefitscenter.com or call the NAPA Benefits Center at 844-627-2123. So there's this all-male paradigm, and the woman need to fit into it. Let's talk about one of the positions, Emily, that many feel that the woman, the female role should be, and that is at our counters, as a service advisor. What's your feeling on that?
Oh, that is such an interesting question. You know, when I pose the same question to my students, so I teach at the Automotive Business School at college here, and you're right. Typically, females are known to be better communicators, right? We do speak more, you know, than the average man. And so there's all this perception as to why female would be better on the counter. However, you know, I'll ask my students, like, you know, especially the female ones in my course, and I'll ask them, like, how many of you women have been betrayed or hurt by another female? And almost all of them have. And the thing is that, you know, the gender itself isn't the reason to put the person on the counter, because we all know women who cannot communicate properly, who don't have integrity, who, you know, on and on and on. And so for me as an employer, I look for certain characteristics and traits, and whether they're coming from a male or female, you know, doesn't matter to me. Now, chances are we may have more of a certain gender applying for the position. In a technician, I'm looking for somebody who can diagnose great, right? And who knows their stuff around cars, you know, on and on, all these skill sets that I'm looking for in a technician. Now, more often than not, I'm going to have a male apply just by the labor pool. Statistically speaking, more men are going to apply. Am I looking for a male? Have my past technicians who've been successful been male? Yes, you know, but that's not what I'm looking for. Like, as much as people say, you know, we want women on the counter, I can't even imagine them ever saying out loud, well, I want a man in, you know, as my technician. You know, so for me, why we boil it down to gender all the time, it just doesn't make sense to me. We should be looking for the skills and qualities and traits that we want for that specific position.
What about the dynamics of the female in the workplace? There's a female on the counter, she's got her guys in the back, and now there's a female tech. Have you ever heard of any kind of friction that way? Because in my mind, it happens that you need the right leadership and the right culture in the business to prevent that.
Absolutely. Friction is going to happen no matter what. I think for me, I hear a lot of times that people kind of peg it on the gender differences, because it's the quickest difference is you're a guy, I'm a girl, you know, this is why, right? And it kind of excuses us as leadership to not go deeper into what is the actual problem here. I do know when you have a female technician that goes into a workplace that's already not healthy, you know, that they create more of a friction. And then most oftentimes it's blamed on a quick thing of, well, you know, they're biased against me, or, you know, on and on.
Can you make a recommendation to the shop owners that are listening to this that may have heard, seen, experienced that kind of male service advisor, female customer, which we know is big today? What kind of direction or guidance would you give the leadership to make things gender neutral inside the customer service realm?
So I'll be very honest with you. The best way, in my opinion, to make something gender neutral is to take those words out of my vocabulary completely. It's not because, you know, to completely remove it from my vocabulary, to not even have it as, well, you know, you're a guy, you're a female, like in that thought process, right? I'm looking clearly at the skills, at the facts of the situation. You know what I mean? To remove that out of what I speak and what I think.
How long is it going to take? Because I hear stories about, well, until I told him I was a friend of X, did he treat me better? Because he just treated me like I was a woman who didn't know anything. Is this going to take years to transform?
Of course, absolutely. And the problem is, I think a lot of us are looking for that quick solution. And this is why we look at, you know, we automatically go to the gender difference, you know, as an excuse or a reason as to why it is that way. A lot of people have a bias that hiring females is best for the counter. And what breaks my heart when I hear that is, you know, imagine if I had a male student, like a young man who wanted to come in and say, you know, you want to be the service advisor, you know, could I look him in the eye and tell him, well, you know, buddy, it's going to be a little tough for you, because generally speaking, women do better on this, in this role. And like, it just, I couldn't even imagine saying that to somebody, right? And so, but that's almost what it inherently means if you have that bias that females are better on the counter just by gender.
You bring up such a great point, and I'm glad we're talking about this, because there has been that trend as well, that, you know, I do remember asking an awful lot of questions in the last 5 years about, do you have a male or female at your counter? Not that it should have mattered or it didn't, but to me, it was a strategy, communicate better to the majority of my customers who are female. I'll put a female on the counter. And your point so well taken. It's the skill, the communication skill, the ability to sell, to have and hold a relationship, male or female, it shouldn't matter.
And a lot of times people will put a female on the counter because they believe that somehow this female will have a better rapport with another female because, for, you know, whatever, we're the same gender, and I don't know. Sure, maybe that is an option. you know, but the thing is, I always think about, well, okay, you know, can I relate to them and build rapport with them just as another human being walking this earth with them? There's got to be other things that I can build rapport with them on aside from just my gender. Like, that just seems so crazy to me.
I've done some great interviews with female service advisors that are at the top of their craft. They're so good. But, you know, they'll tell me either on record or off record the challenge they had to be accepted by their male customers. You know, let me talk to Bob, the owner. Well, he's not here. Well, when will he be back? Because I'm coming back. So what can I do for you? Well, you don't understand. I got to talk to Bob. Why is it that you have to talk to Bob? And 30 questions later, she finally gains confidence or friendship, or there's a connection finally happening, and it breaks the wall down. How tough that job has to be.
But that's how people are. People are tough. People are, you know, crazy, right? Like, there's so many variables in people's heads. And this person, Bob, and there's a bit of grace that has to happen too. You know, all of a sudden you've got a new person in. This guy, probably Bob, or, you know, probably the customer hasn't ever dealt with a female before, you know, new thing. Like, so there's some grace that, okay, he's got to get adjusted to me too. Why it almost automatically goes to, oh, he's being sexist, is amazing to me. Like, you know, it's such a quick reaction that we have sometimes.
You teach, and when the females come up to you and says, hey, can I make it in this industry?
You know what? That's the blessing, I think, is that I can stand in front of them and say, hey, I'm an example of how I did it. Maybe you don't agree with the way in which I did it, but I'm here. And the women say that, but you know what? I'll tell you, a lot of the guys, I have heard them say things like, well, if I go for a job interview, I'm not going to get hired because they're going to hire the girl, right? There's that. So the men now think, going into an interview, that if they're pitted against a female, you know, that the corporation is going to hire this female because they need to fulfill some crazy gender quota. And now the men are feeling not resentful, I guess, but you know what I mean? Like, you can get the sense of what they're saying. And so I remember one student, I heard him say that, and I said to him, you know, okay, so you're telling me that the only thing stopping you from getting this job is your gender? And he's like, well, you know, he kind of laughs it off. And I'm like, no, really, like, that's what I got out of what you said. And I said, in that case, you got to change your gender. Like, if you're telling me that's the only reason why that female got hired, what can you possibly do, right? So it's almost like a sense of like hopelessness or whatever it is with him. And then you've got so many layers of issues there, right? Because now the females that are getting hired, they're not confident that they got hired for their skill. They think they're filling some quota. So you've got insecurity happening there. Then you've got the men who are also equally not sure if they're going to get the job. Like, it's such a crazy, convoluted thing.
So my thoughts on what you just said is that if I was up for a job, I'm a great service advisor. And I know that the guy's going through 4 or 5 interviews. I'm going to make an assumption that there's a female candidate in there. Then it's my job to sell. Dollar for dollar, pound for pound, I have the skills. I have the proof. Let's do a role play. Let me show you that I can really help grow your business. And you're right. The paradigm that the female is going to be a better communicator than, let me speak to all the male service advisors out there, then if you know that that's a competitive disadvantage for you because you're not a female, then you got to put your A game and your A face on when you're doing the interview.
Right. So I told the student, listen, if you don't get that job, it's because you didn't do a good enough job of presenting your values to that corporation. Right. You didn't. So to your words, you didn't sell them on why you were a better candidate, that you left it so close that it came to a decision of equal opportunity. Right. So I would push that specific student, like I pushed him in that way to say, well, then you didn't sell yourself. You didn't give them enough, you know, reason to hire you. It's just so easy for them to say, well, you know, they hired a female because they needed to fill the quota, the number.
Men, females working together, what do you tell your students?
Based on my own experience too, right? When I went into trade school, I was one of, by the end of level 3, so in Canada here, we've got 3 levels of apprenticeship. By the end of level 3, I was the only female in the classroom. I did have comments from some of the other students. They thought I was in the wrong class. To me, that's fine. I don't take that personally.
It didn't crush your self-confidence because you were just so self-assured?
I laugh because my dad always says that I'm so stubborn, so I guess it's just
okay,
as well that I
helps.
am. No, it's not that. It's just, I think I got to a point in my life where I just decided I wasn't going to change anybody's mind about why I was there. I was going to demonstrate that I was there for the exact same reasons as them, and that was to learn more about cars. And once I did that, then the guys understood I was there for that reason. And I never pulled like a gender card or nothing, right? I was in it with them. If the prof wanted, you know, somebody to hold something, I'm in there. And so once I demonstrated that, then the guys knew that, you know what, like there's equal respect here. So there's a bit of grace that has to happen, right? For example, you know, I think about it this way. So prior to getting into the trades, I studied psychology in university, and Psych 101 filled with females, filled, right? You like you token maybe 10 guys in this, you know, 100 room lecture hall. And you can bet if a guy walked into the classroom, almost all the females would be looking. You can bet that. You know, and so this idea for me, it was just, you know what, we have a group of, you know, guys or girls, and when you introduce something new, everybody's going to look. This is just natural human behavior. And for people to assign that natural human behavior to, oh, sexism, racism, whatever, right off the hop like that is very concerning for me. There's a bit of grace. So yes, there's a room full of guys, you know, I'm the only female. And then we got to learn how to work together. In my mind, I knew that they probably never worked with a female before. You know, they had probably no idea. They probably had their own preconceived notions of what it was like to work with a female. And yeah, there were moments where things were said that were not appropriate. I probably said stuff that was not appropriate. You know, I think about how many times have I said something that I needed to ask forgiveness for after, you know, so to the number of times that I've been extended grace, it was my responsibility to do that as well. Now, I'm not talking about ignorant people. There are some people who just don't get it, will never get it, you know, and I made up my mind going into trade school that, you know, I'm not changing their minds, right? What they choose to believe is what they believe. But there's a lot of good people out there who just need to have an opportunity to get used to figuring out how we work together.
I love what you just said about asking for forgiveness. To me, that's such a mark of a great leader and an individual that has self-aware and confidence. And it took me a lot of years in my life to realize that I needed to say I goofed, or, you know, I'm really sorry that I said that, or and say it as soon as you possibly can when, you know, you think it through and you ignore it, it just gets worse. I so love this. I mean, gender's not an issue unless you make it one. I mean, I think that's the whole gist of our discussion.
Whether I can or can't punch out that ball joint, whether I can or can't diagnose a car, has nothing to do with my gender. It has to do with my skills. And I love the skill trades because we are measured on our skills, right? People, they have a car that's broken, they bring it in, maybe bonus is fixed by a girl, but really, they just want the car fixed, for crying out loud, right? And so if it's not in my language, I don't give other people permission then to use it in theirs, if that makes sense. So, you know, I've just been so convinced about that. And I will say this to you about my upbringing, you know, so I'm an only child, and I never grew up with the, you know, wow, like, you, great job, you did it, like, go girl power, all this stuff. I never grew up with that. You know, whether I did well on a test or not, I mean, my parents expected me, like, you know, all kind of, I guess, stereotypical Asian assumptions, like, they expected me to get 100% on everything, right? And so whether or not I got it or not, didn't matter if I was a girl or, you know, whatever. My parents expected that, and that was it. So it was never in the language at home either. So it's not that I didn't grow up thinking I couldn't or could do something just because I was a girl, but it just was never, you know, discussed at home in that way.
Interesting. You know, the expectations were so high, you couldn't even think about the fact that you were a female gender. It just
wasn't in my upbringing. And, you know, I raised two boys now, and I'm very aware. If you flip it the other way around, so, okay, a young girl does excellent in robotics, you know, she's more often to get a response of, good job, you know, like, way to go, you beat out the guys, you know, all this stuff, and, you know, all that kind of encouragement. And when I think about a young boy, so one of my sons maybe, and if he did well in, I don't know, what's your traditionally female thing? Like baking, I don't know, just throwing it out there. I can't even imagine myself saying to him, good job, you beat out all the girls, like, you know, way to go. All the, like, I can't even imagine that language being used for boys, and yet it's used for girls. And so it's just so interesting to me, because it's almost like you're setting up these girls at a young age to believe that the bias is there.
Thank you so much. Emily Chung, Auto Niche Inc., that's her shop in Markham, Ontario. And you also teach at the automotive...
So I teach at the Automotive Business School up at Georgian College, and it's the only post-secondary program for people who want to be in the automotive industry and graduate out with a business degree. So specifically for the auto industry.
Appreciate that. Thank you for doing that. Good to see you, Emily. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.